40 days after Jesus cast off death and arose from the grave, he was lifted up from the heaven, from the earth into heaven. We call it the ascension. And Jesus Christ in his glorified body is now in heaven. What does the ascension of Jesus into heaven mean? Well, the scriptures are full of its significance. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2. Seek the things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things which are above, not on things on the earth. Or 1 Peter 3 verse 20. Who is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, we read. That is, because he ascended into heaven, Jesus is our King who rules the world. But the main central blessing of the ascension is the certainty of the believer's salvation, the absolute surety of the hope that is to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus' entrance into heaven means that all who belong to him by the grace of God are secure in him and have the absolute certainty of being fully glorified. All who are in Christ are now in heaven. Our soul is anchored in heaven. Jesus Christ cast an anchor into heaven when he ascended, and he will draw us there to be with him. And now, as we are on the tides of this life with so many things pulling us away and working against our faith, or as we endure stormy waves of this life to dash us and to destroy our faith, we, through the ascension of Jesus Christ, are anchored in heaven. There are the tides of grief that pull, and despair and depression and loss and loneliness and rejection of friends. And as a boat, we can be pulled away from Christ. There are the stormy winds of evil lust and temptations and greed as great waves seeking to cast us up upon the rocks of wickedness. What will hold us? Jesus Christ is ascended into heaven. The anchor of our faith and hope is secure in him. I call your attention today to a very beautiful passage concerning the ascension of Jesus, as it's found in Hebrews chapter 6, the verses 19 and 20. We read, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, who was made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The apostle is encouraging us in this epistle to not let go of our hope in Jesus Christ. In verse 18, he has just said that we are to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Paul, in writing Hebrews, is writing to Jewish Christians who were being tempted under persecution to go back to their former religion of Judaism. Instead of doing that, he says, let us hold on. Verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, let us go on to perfection, on to completion, not going back. He says concerning those who fall away in verse 6 of Hebrews 6 that they are thorns and briars, and that their end is that they will be burned. He says in verse 9, but brethren, we are persuaded better things of you. And then in verse 11, he says, we desire that you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The apostle is seeking to encourage us not to become slothful and lackadaisical and seduced by this world, but he says to us, verse 12, follow them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. He says to us in this chapter that God has given us the promises in Christ. And so to speak, God has gone the extra mile in that he has attached an oath to these promises. He has sworn, and then he has sworn by himself, the most precious reality in the universe himself. So the apostle says, by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, God's promise and God's oath, he has given us strong encouragement, so that we must lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And then the apostle says, this hope is sure. It's like an anchor of the soul, because Jesus, our high priest, has entered into heaven for us. When Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after the resurrection, he cast the anchor of our salvation into heaven, and our hope is secure. We have our soul anchored in heaven. The Holy Spirit here is giving to us a figure of speech, a picture, which is very striking. When we think of the ascension of Jesus Christ, we must think of an anchor, which is sure, says the Apostle, and steadfast. We must think of massive hooks and weight, like the anchor pulled up on the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln. Only this anchor is not cast down into the depths of the water to hold a ship, but it is cast up into heaven to hold our souls. This anchor, says the Apostle, has been cast into that which is within the veil. And therefore, we have an hope in us which is as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Our hope is the future glory, the complete blessings in Jesus Christ, the inheritance and the promises of eternal life and salvation when we shall be with Him. That's our hope. He says this hope is an anchor of our soul. It keeps our soul from drifting off into unbelief or wickedness. Our hope of heaven anchors us in this present world. And he says this anchor is sure and steadfast, for it has entered into that within the veil. The idea, as I said, is not a chain, an anchor on the end of a chain going clang, clang, clang down into the bottom of the harbor or a lake into its mud. But the idea is of a grappling hook being thrown up. This hook or this anchor goes beyond the veil and catches fast hold of what is within the veil. It is not an anchor down in the rocks of the sea or on the sandy bottom, but it is an anchor which is cast into that which is in heaven, the very throne of God. The Holy Spirit is referring to the Old Testament temple in the time of Moses and so on, which had its veil separating the holy place from the most holy place. That most holy place was the symbol of the presence of God and of the Ark of the Covenant. You'll remember that that veil in the Old Testament temple was torn in half when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, thereby signifying that our entrance into heaven has been secured through His bloodletting upon the cross. And now the Apostle says, in the ascension of Jesus Christ, the anchor has been cast beyond that veil, and it is hooked into the Ark of the Covenant of God. It is hooked into the very throne of God. It is sure and steadfast. When Christ ascended into heaven, He is the anchor of our soul, so that we are held sure and steadfast to the throne of God. That anchor is not going anywhere. It is sure and steadfast. And all of this is based on the glorious truth of Christ's ascension into heaven. The Apostle says, whither, that is, into heaven, behind the veil, the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, which was made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus' ascension is the casting of the anchor of our soul into heaven. As a ship is anchored, our souls are anchored in heaven by His ascension. We are moored there. He is the forerunner. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, the one who has gone before us, the one who has come to appear for us in heaven. He is the one who is the forerunner for us. He represents the people of God. He represents God's children, and He has gone ahead of us now into heaven, and His presence in heaven is as the anchor of our soul. So that the point is this: by His infinitely precious blood, Jesus Christ has opened heaven for us, and now as the ascended Lord Jesus, He has gone before us, and His presence in heaven at the throne of God is an anchor for us, so that we may say that our hope of going to heaven is sure and steadfast, united to Christ, who is in heaven. Our soul is anchored Our hope is sure and steadfast. We need desperately this anchor of the soul. A ship in the harbor or in the inlet needs anchorage so that it is not pulled out by the tide. And a boat off a rocky shore, off cliffs, needs an anchor so that it is not pushed by the waves upon and up onto the rocks to be destroyed. So our souls, which belong to Jesus Christ, are now in this world, and we need an anchorage. We need something reliable. We need something sure. The tides of grief pull upon our hearts to sweep us into despair and hopelessness. There are the currents of trials and struggles which cause us to say, "What's the use? It's no good. I can't believe anymore. Why should we keep trying? We're going to quit." And then there are waves. The stormy winds blow of temptations. They come upon us. Or those sudden sinful urgings of the flesh, appearing suddenly within our mind as a storm to cast us upon the rocks of sin and destruction. I need an anchor. My soul otherwise will be swept away into despair or crashed upon the rocks. Now I have an anchor in Jesus Christ. Christ is ascended. He is the one to whom we belong by the grace of God. He has ascended and he is in heaven. He's not going anywhere. That anchor holds. It is sure and steadfast. Our certainty, our hope of life eternal is sure and steadfast. For Jesus has ascended there for us. But now there's a question. And this question means much to me. And here's the question. Is the anchor of my soul as firmly attached to my soul as it is to the throne of God? Does this question concern you? Is the figure of speech in the passage we consider today, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, is the figure of speech this, that one end of the chain attached to the anchor by the virtue of Christ's work and ascension is firm and steadfast, wrapped around the Ark of the Covenant upon the rock of the throne of God, but now the chain or the rope dangles from heaven before my face, and I need to grab it, and I need to hold on by my own strength. The question is this, is security only on one end of the rope? One end of the chain, Christ has entered into heaven, he's there. But the other end, whether or not I actually am pulled there, that depends upon me. If we were on a boat, you say to me, "I've got the very best anchor. Look at it. Here, see these prongs? It will grab hold of anything. Feel the weight. It will keep us secure. It grabs. Nothing will pull us loose. We'll be okay." But it's not attached to the boat. I see the end of the rope floating in the water. I'm not encouraged. My soul is only as secure as both ends of the chain. If Christ died and went to heaven, and everything is there, and everything is secure there, but he left the work for me to take hold of the other end, if the other end isn't attached by the same mighty grace of God, I'm not encouraged a bit. Is the picture here of an anchor bound steadfastly to the throne of God in heaven so that nothing could tear that anchor loose but the rope is left hanging in the air? Is that the point of the text? And therefore we say, take hold and then you will have assurance? Does it depend then upon my pitiful strength, my tenacity, to be kept from being blown out to sea or swept onto the rocks of wickedness? The answer is no. The anchor of our soul means not only the anchor is fixed in heaven by Christ, but by the same power of Jesus Christ firmly attached to my soul. That's the comfort here. We read, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The one who has gone before us is Jesus. He is the one who the angel said to Joseph shall save his people from their sins. He's the Savior who was attached to us by the eternal grace and love of God, by the strong fasteners of God's everlasting love. We were united to Him by grace alone, and nothing is stronger than God's love, which holds Christ to us and us to Christ. The bolts holding the anchor chain can't be sheared off, because they are fastened. That end of the chain to our soul has been fastened by the wonderful work of this same God, by Him who is the high priest, we read, after the order of Melchizedek. And that is a reference to Jesus Christ, not only in His sacrificial death, but in His mighty power as a king, Melchizedek the king. Yes, the apostle says, hold fast to the profession of your faith, show diligence. But that does not attach you to Christ, but is the fruit of your having been attached to Christ. If you lay hold, it is because God has laid hold of you. Jesus Christ died not only to secure one end, but both ends, to secure your heart to Him and to secure us to heaven. Listen to this, Hebrews 11, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you, equipping you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our being bound to Christ was purchased by Christ. It is His work in us. If we think that of our own will, fallen in sin, we are the one who grabs hold of the rope, and that we are the only one who can do that, otherwise it won't be done, then that's arrogant. Then we don't know sin. Then we don't know the power of the world. No, we say to Him, to Jesus, be the glory. When I get to heaven, I will not say to God, well, it was by the good biceps and strength of my hands that I lay hold upon an offer of salvation and I chose and other people couldn't hang on to it, but I did. No, the ascension of Jesus Christ declares that our hope is firm on both ends because it is the work of Christ on both ends. It is the work of Christ to earn for us a place in heaven, and it is the work of Christ to knit our souls to Him, so that as He is in heaven, we by His mighty grace shall also be taken to heaven. We are not left to depend upon our weak hands. But Christ is our anchor, who has anchored down one side in heaven and has anchored us to Him by His grace. That's what the ascension of Jesus Christ says to us. It says to us a gospel of wonderful comfort. It declares that our salvation depends upon Jesus, and it announces to us that He has done all for us so that we, by faith, may rest in Him. We have many forces which seem to take us away from Him and would cause us to give up our hope. There are those griefs and trials and sicknesses and my sins, and all of the time that we are tempted to lose sight of Him, but salvation by the grace of God is secure in Christ. Our security does not, however, lead us to sinful carelessness, to wicked apathy, to God-dishonoring indifference, but this security causes us to lay hold of Christ. You ask, well, if it's true that the anchor is lodged in the Holy of Holies in the very heart of God, and that the other end is bound to me by the same mighty work of God, then why does God say, as he says in verse 18 of Hebrews 6, that we might lay hold upon the hope that is set before us? Why does he tell us to lay hold? Well, here's the answer. The ascended Christ has not purchased for us freedom from holding on, but the power to hold on. He has not said, don't hold, but he says, I have enabled you by my grace to hold fast. The ascension of Jesus Christ has not nullified our need to be diligent and to hold fast to our faith, but the ascension of Jesus Christ is the empowerment of our wills by his divine grace to hold fast. The ascension of Jesus Christ has not canceled the command to hold fast, but it is the fulfillment of that command. It has not canceled the exhortation, but it is the triumph of the exhortation. Philippians 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may lay hold, apprehend, that for which I am apprehended of Christ. I desire to lay hold of that for which Christ has already laid hold of me. I press to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Our security in Christ leads us to diligence. Lay hold on the hope that is set before us, the hope which is as an anchor of the soul, says the apostle. To lay hold is heart work. It's not something you do with your hands, but it's with your heart. It's not something with your arms or legs, but it's with your heart. You can be paralyzed and on your back in a nursing home. You can be in a waiting room and say, there's nothing I can do. Yes. Lay hold by the grace of God in your heart upon the promises of Christ. Meditate upon Christ. Think of him. See him. Born, crucified, risen from the dead, ascending up into heaven. He's your forerunner. He's your king. He's your head. He's your Lord. He's your husband. He's your friend. He's your Savior. Lay hold. What is your soul anchored to? What holds it? In sorrow, in trials, and in temptations. Cast your anchor into what? Money? Yourself? Pleasures? Booze? There's only one anchor that pulls you up. There's only one hope, and that is Christ. This anchor holds and draws you till at last you too enter into glory and possess the things which are to be found within the veil, the glorious things of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this word, such a glorious word of the security and of our salvation in Jesus Christ, the ascended one. Now give us that grace whereby we lay hold of this hope in the midst of the trials and sorrows of life. In Jesus' name, amen.